Jesus Christ, we commence our seventh class of the book of Matthew.
Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, you by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So here, Jesus Christ told his disciples that their righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribe and Pharisee. If they not be able to accomplish that, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So just like nowadays, because the Pharisee and the scribe have their own righteousness. For example, chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard it was said of those of old, you should not murder. If whoever murder would be in danger of judgment. That is the scribe and Pharisee righteousness. But our righteousness, we must not even hate our brother or call our brother raka, empty-headed. So, in other words, when our Lord Jesus Christ come to this world, he to fulfill the law, to make the law even more what? Complete. So maybe in the olden days, if you don't kill a person, you hate them, it's okay. But nowadays, you and I, if we hate a person, we also in danger of judgment. Just like in verse 23 to verse 25. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, verse 24, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. So the scribe and Pharisee righteousness, if they do something wrong to their fellow brethren, they have to go to the in front of the altar and ask forgiveness. But our righteousness, not only we have to set, our gift before the altar, but we also have to amend our relationship with our brother and sister before we go there. So that's why quite often when you and I pray to God, and we don't experience anything, we don't feel anything, because our daily life is blocking us from feeling God and experience God. Especially our relationship with our brothers and sisters, our relationship with our siblings, our relationship with our parents. So for example, if my wife and I argue, right, even though our marriage is very good, but we still argue, right? Argue is part of life, and argument is part of relationship. So if I argue with her and I kneel down and pray to God, I cannot be focused. I cannot be focused. Not only with argument, if my wife is upset with me about something, then I feel fine. But if I kneel down and pray because she is upset, right, then I cannot feel God also. Why? Because I must amend my relationship with her first. Because if she's upset with me for something, I must try my best to fix it before we can kneel down to pray before God. So the same thing in terms of relationship with our brothers and sisters. So in other words, do not have any kind of ill will against any brother, against any sister, against any sibling, or also against our parents. Our heart must be pure. Our heart must be clean. So we go in front of the altar, our conscience must be completely clear. So that's why that is our righteousness. Look at verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you should not commit adultery. Verse 28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So here, the righteousness of the scribe and Pharisee. If they want to commit adultery, they must physically commit adultery. But for us nowadays, if we look at a woman or a man to lust after them, we already commit adultery inside our heart. So that's why we do not watch pornographic. Right? Because many other Christians believe that watch pornographic is good for you. Why? Because it deters you from going out doing the real thing. But the Bible never teaches such teaching. So when our mind, if our mind is lustful, this means we are unclean before God. If our mind is lustful, in the eyes of God, we are sinning. especially when you and I are married. If you are married, and then you look at other women lustfully, or other men lustfully, then it's a sin already inside our heart. But of course, some people feel, and most Christians feel, right? If your relationship with your spouse is boring, right? So you must do something to enhance it. And quite often they turn to pornography, and it is not the Bible teaching. Not Bible teaching. So one day when we are married, we must keep this in mind. Because if we view pornographic and watch things that is the lust, you know, make us lust afterward, then our relationship with our spouse will not be good. Will not be good. So always remember this. So not only to just physically commit adultery, but inside our heart, to lust after someone else beside our spouse, this is a sin already inside our heart. Any question you thought? From chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 28. Any question you thought? No.
Yeah, we have 6 sessions beside this one. We have another 22 chapters to go, right? 23 chapters. I'm trying to go a little fast this time. Okay. But if you have any questions, please feel free. Yes?
So, this verse talks about reverence. So, what about, not that it's okay to eat
people who are Actually, on verse 25 and verse 26, it's not only pertaining to the brethren, but also to other people also, right? Say, in verse 25, agree with your adversary quickly. While you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, the judge's hand you over the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Verse 26, surely I say to you, you by no means get off there till you have paid the last penny, right? So here, actually, it goes beyond our fellow brethren, right? Why? Because God says, love your neighbor, right? Your neighbor is not only your brother and sister in Christ, but your neighbor, those who live among you, right? And those we encounter with. So not only between our brothers and sisters. Any other questions? Okay, let's go on then. Let's go to the next one. Verse 31. Actually, verse 29 to verse 30, right? If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Verse 30. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Right? So the teaching here is not that when we watch something dirty, we must pluck out our eyes, right? When we do something bad, it's to cut off our arm. That's not the teaching, right? But I remember one testimony, one of the brothers, he watched something very bad, right, for quite a while, and he cannot overcome it. So one day, he read this verse and he plucked out his eye. Yeah. And then after he plucked out his eye, and then he realized, oh, this is wrong, and then he put it back in. Then God healed his eye. God healed it. So yeah, don't pluck your eyes out, right? So in other words, if you cannot control yourself watching something you should not watch, and then run. Don't go there, right? Just close your eyes, right? Pastor Huang always gives you a good example, right? Because Pastor Huang cannot see too well, right? So every time you see women, and then he just take off his glasses. And then he's plucking his eyes out, right? He can't see, right? But my eyes still okay, I can see. So it doesn't work for me, but it worked for him, right? So for example, when I go to Hawaii, I don't go to the beach. I love ocean, I love the water, right? But I do not go to the beach. One thing, I'm plucking my eyes out, right? I don't want to see anything that will cause me to sin, right? Because as a man, you look at a beautiful woman, you know, it's normal, it's natural, right, to feel enticed by it, but I will not bring myself there. I will not bring myself there. So that's why I play golf. So when I play golf, there's a bunch of guys on the course, right? That's just the opposite of the beach, right? Okay, so that's my, you know, that's how I pluck my eye out, right? And the same thing, right? Your hands. If your hands cause you to do something, right, turn on a computer, right? If you turn on a computer, you know you're gonna fall into temptation. Don't turn it on, right? Don't turn it on. So that's why I shared with you before that quite often I don't even turn my computer on. Especially now I have the Samsung Note 2, right? The screen is big enough for me to use to do many things, right? To send emails, stuff like that. So my computer most of the time is always off. Unless I want to look at the picture of my pond, right? I build a pond, I want to see bigger stuff, so I do that, right? But most of the time I don't even go on the internet anymore. Like on my computer, right? Well, because I don't want to feel that kind of, you know, temptation, right? That kind of temptation. Even I go on quite often, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, I turn on the computer, right? Like that. So you think I'm crazy, but actually Satan is very persistent, right? Very persistent. So be very careful, right? So yes, pluck out your eyes, right? Cut off your hand. If you really cannot control where your eyes go, see, and where your hand, what your hands do. But sometimes it's a sacrifice, right? Sacrifice. Just like, you know, before I came to Christ, I love, you know, surround sound, and I love to watch kung fu movies, right? I watch all the Wong Fei Hung movies, right? You guys watch Wong Fei Hung? Yeah, those kind of stuff, right? I love it. I mean, not that it's bad. And also another thing I was addicted to is watching sports. I love to watch sports, right? Because when I watch sports, right after I want to go out and do exercise, right? And get in good shape, right? Look at LeBron James, you look at him, and he's Moose, right? He's so strong. They call him King Kong, I call him Moose, right? He's so strong, right? You can't help but when you watch him play basketball, you want to be out there and get in good shape, right? But the problem is, I put too much time into that, right? Because, I mean, if the New England Patriots are playing, right? If the Celtics are playing, I would do anything to go and watch it, right? And that's not good. That's not good. But now, I'm fine, right? They can be in a... Of course, I watch the Super Bowl then, right? But I'm not gonna make. I don't go out of my way to watch sports anymore, right? I don't even have cable in my house, right? So I'd be able to get rid of all those things. But when I have TV, I have surround sound, but I can completely control it. I can completely control. So because of this, yes, I have plugged up my eyes. I have cut off my hands, in the sense that I'd be able to control. If I cannot control, then I don't want to have TV. I didn't have TV for, I think, let me see, 14 years in Christ, last 4 or 5, yeah, about 10 years. I have no TV, no nothing, nothing at all. So when I came to Christ, I had karaoke machine and everything, right? TVs, around sound, I sold everything, right? Then only like 10 years later, I feel like, you know, yeah, I'm strong enough, right? I can buy, get a TV, right? I can get surround sound, right? And now it's, I mean, I enjoy my surround sound, and it's not my master, right? I enjoy my TV, it's not my master, right? But I do once in a while, I like to sit down and just watch something. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But don't make it to the point that you always have to look at it, right? You always have to do something with it. And then they call it addiction, right? That's not good. Okay? Let's go to verse 31, 32. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce, right? Verse 32. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. So in the Old Testament, if you want to divorce your wife, you ask for a certificate. If you ask for a certificate, then you have the right to divorce her. But this is what's not God's intention. The reason why Moses did that for them, I look at Christ and say why? Because the hardness of their heart, right? From the beginning, God took only one rib and made Eve out of it, right? One man, one woman, right? Not one man, one woman, right? One man, one woman. Not one man, two women, right? But in the process of time, people have multiple wives. Even though during the time we don't see that God punished them for this and that, but it doesn't mean it's right. Because later on, because even some members feel that, you know, when Lot's two daughters commit incest with Lot, right? And some people say, no, during that time was not the law, so they did not do anything wrong. Honestly, it's incest. Incest is wrong, right, from them. But of course, we don't see how God punished them or not, but look at the descendant of his two daughters, right? I think what, the Moabites? And what is the other daughter? Anyone know? Moabites and, well, I forgot, but yeah, their descendant actually become to the point that God despised them, right? that the Moabites, God said they can never enter his tabernacle. So things like that, right? So we know it's derived from sin, right? From sin. But here, if we want to be divorced, the only way we can divorce is through sexual immorality. So sometimes we ask, what happened if the husband, right, really abused the wife? Should you get a divorce? Can you get a divorce? Can you? No. No. So that's why it's important before you get married, you must pray to God sincerely, right? For God to bless you with Adam or your Eve. Because if you marry the wrong person, especially marrying Gentiles, it's very dangerous for your faith and also for yourself. Because I know many brothers and sisters who marry Gentiles, actually. It's very sad. There's one sister marry a Gentile, of course, you know, he's good looking, this and that, right? And mentioned that she have kids. After she have kids, she realized that her husband all this time has another wife. And she didn't know it, right? So that's why we must take our marriage seriously. Right? Even now, at your age, you must pray, right? Of course, don't obsess over it, right? My sisters, no, don't obsess with guys, right? I always say that marriage is overrated. And being married is overrated, right? Even though my marriage is so wonderful, but still, it's a lot of hard work. If any one of you have the gift, be single. It's a blessing. Really, it's a blessing. But if you don't, which most of us don't, get married, right? Get married. But nevertheless, make sure you pray for God's guidance. Make sure, you know, it's God's will for you to pray, you know, to marry this woman or this man. But quite often, don't make our marriage become like a stumbling block in the sense that, like, no, maybe sister, every time you talk about boys, right? It's not healthy when you do that, right? And brothers, every time you talk about girls, it's not healthy, right? Right now, the only thing you should focus on, your relationship with God, your relationship with your parents, and your schooling or your work, right? That's it. And anything in between, like getting married and stuff like that at your age right now, just pray about it, right? In the process of, you know, develop a relationship with God, in the process of having a good relationship with parents, in the process of working and going to school, then God might bring you Adam and Eve during that time, right? But don't be obsessed over it, right? Don't be obsessed over it. But that's why if you marry the wrong person, yes. Actually, the husband can be very abusive. This one sister married a Gentile, and she did not know that he has five other wives. He had five other wives. The only reason she saw that, right, and know that he had five other wives, because one time he was such in a hurry to, you know, to go somewhere, and he didn't lock off his computer. And she went on there. Sure enough, he has one wife in Beijing, right, another wife somewhere, and a couple wives in the United States. Right? It's very sad. Right? It's very sad. But she'd been married to this person, like, you know, 15 years already. 15 years. So it's very important, right? Really. I know that, of course, it's natural for us to be married, but make sure you really, yes?
About that sharing that you just did, does that mean that sister is adultery because
Yes, so the question is that, does that mean that sister committed adultery because she's with other women? But she did not know. First, marrying a Gentile is sin in the first place, right? From the beginning, right? Why? Because those who are not baptized, they're not cleansed, right, from the sin from Adam and Eve. So when you're married, this means you become one. And you cannot become one with a person who's a harlot, who's unclean. So that is already sin in the first place, right? But through all this time, she didn't know that he had other five wives. Right? But either way, from the beginning, it's a wrong start already. Yes?
What are the cases of the brother and the sister and one of them commits adultery and another?
If you do not know, if you're about to marry a brother, right, you're about to marry a brother, and this brother also has a sexual relationship with another sister before, right, already, right? So if you marry him, do you also commit adultery, right? So if you do not know, then for me, God will understand. But you must, if that is the case, if you're already married, it's going to be very difficult, right? Very difficult to make the decision. But of course, you have the right to be divorced when you find that out, right? But we also do not encourage, right? You try to work out the relationship, right? That's why, actually this happened to one sister, right? She about to marry this brother. And she loved this brother very much. And it seemed that this brother, you know, everything is perfect. But she continued to pray about marriage. Then one day, God showed her a vision. And this vision that this brother she about to marry already have sexual relationship with another sister already. So, and she ended up calling the sister admitted already that they have sexual relationship. So thank God they didn't get married, right? So that's why prayer is very important. From our appearance, we have no idea what that person is like. Only God knows. If we are a faithful person, if we pursue God's will, just like this sister, God will reveal to us the thing that, you know, that no one else can see. But no matter what, besides sexual immorality, we cannot get divorced. So this means marriage is a long life commitment. There's no way out. Even your spouse physically abuse you, you know, verbally abuse you, no matter what, you cannot get divorced. And of course, when we think about this, that's why to marry the right person is very important. Okay? And of course, don't make a big deal about marriage, but you take it seriously. Right? Hope you can understand what I'm saying, right? And I would don't be obsessed with the marriage. I need to get married, right? But if you're gonna get married, you must be serious about it. You put time and effort to prayer. And make sure this person is God's will. I mean, marrying Gentile, of course, we should not marry Gentiles. If you meet someone that you like, right? Outside the church, right? First thing, don't fall in love. You fall in love, you become crazy, you don't know what you're doing. Then if even this person doesn't come to church in that, you feel like, oh, it's okay, maybe in the future I can bring them to church. That's all. That means you're going crazy, right? So don't fall in love in the first place. If we, for example, we go to school, our classmate, you know, he or she, you know, seem very nice, right? Very cute, we like them. The first thing we do, invite them to come to church. If it's a brother, and then, you know, sisters, you know, invite come to church, then ask other brothers to take care of him, right? And if it's sisters, the same thing, vice versa, right? Ask our older sister to take care of her, but don't fall in love. When you fall in love, it's very difficult to pull yourself back out, really. Of course, we can say, I can fall out of love anytime, but no, it's not like that. It's not like that at all, right? See, Brother Andrew shielded us, right, when he was in love, right, before he came to TJC, right? It's not easy to let go. When you've been with each other for so long, when you talk, when you share, you give yourself, right? You know, everything to that person, it's very difficult to say, okay, talk to the hands. That's it, right? I don't like you anymore. That's it. It's not like that. It's not like that. So that's why it's important. You know, it's nothing wrong to invite, you know, other, you know, like a Gentile to come to choose stuff, and then really, if God's will, on the end, we end up marrying them, right? But at the same time, be careful. Don't pray, you know. If, for example, a brother, you bring a girl to church, right? You pray, God, if she get baptized and she receive the Holy Spirit, that means she's going to be my wife, right? What's wrong with that prayer? What's that? Yeah, selfish reason, but the main thing is that the reason she's baptized because God wants to save her, right? The reason she received the Holy Spirit because God wants to save her, not because you're going to be, you know, her husband. It's, you know what I'm saying? So if that's the case, if she's never baptized, she never received the Holy Spirit, it's what? That means she's not your wife, but God wants everybody to be saved, right? So don't pray like that, right? Don't pray like that. Yes, Felicia, you have a question?
Could you define, like, all of your love?
How you define falling in love? When you're in love, you walk, but you don't walk on the ground. You're always floating, right? That's being in love, right? No, actually, you know, when you fall, I'm just joking, right? Yeah. So being in love, this means you really think about that person 24/7. That's one of the biggest signs ever, right? So that's why if you're in love with Lord Jesus Christ, you always think about him, right? Think about his will, this and that, right? The same thing. If you fall in love with a man or a woman, we always think about that person. You can talk to them, you know, 3-4 hours, right? Non-stop, right? Now, every time I call my wife, of course, I love my wife, but I call her, after 5 minutes, like, okay, can we hang up already? But before, when I first fell in love, right, now our love is much deeper than before, right? Falling in love is actually is the beginning of love. Right? After that, right, is the true love, right? So I remember when I first met her, and we talked on the phone forever, right? I mean, I have work, she has school, right? We're on the phone, right, all night. Then like, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, it's like, yeah, let's go to bed. It's like, yeah, you hang up the phone first. Like, no, you hang up the phone first. Then we go, okay, let's count to 3, we hang up the phone together. Right? 1, 2, 3, are you still there? It always happened like this, right? That is for being in love, right? Being in love, right? Okay? So, and it's more than just physical feelings, right? Sometimes, if, like Pastor TJ showed us, right? Lust is very different than love, right? Lust, all you think about is what? The physical aspect of that person, right? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, are you in love with a girl, right? Because one brother showed us, like, you know, when you see a girl do the hair like this, like, that's not love, right? That's lust, right? Because, you know, because a girl go do like this and they hear, and then we're like, oh, I love her, you know? Actually, no, it's lust, right? But of course, it doesn't mean that physically you should not be attracted to that person, right? Because when God brought Eve to Adam, he said, what? Bone's my bone and flesh my flesh, right? But if God brought Eve to Adam, Adam said, oh God, what is that? Then you have to live what, you know, remember Adam and Eve, they lived for like 900 years. For 900 years, they looked at what is that? No, it cannot be like that. It cannot be like that. But beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? It's actually, some brothers say, oh, that girl is, that sister is so nice to look at. Like, oh, man, you gotta put your glasses on, right? But for them, she's beautiful, right? For them, she's beautiful. And that's why beauty is in the eye beholder. So flesh my flesh, bones my bones mean we have to look at what? Bone is underneath the skin, right? Look at the inner beauty first. Why? Because the outward beauty, it will not last long. Really? It will not last long. I'm telling you, when I was in my 20s, like, I was in great shape, right? When I walk on, there's a famous street in Boston, Newberry Street, right? When I walked with my tank top on, you know, girls used to stop me asking for my number, right? That's how it was, right? Now, nobody even look at me when I'm walking. Because right? I'm going bald, I'm losing my hair, right? Look at my hair do nowadays, like simple stuff, right? And I don't wear any fancy clothes and stuff like that, but I'm old now, right? It's not like before, right? So beauty really, it will fade away, that is for sure, right? Look at all the couples, right? After 2-3 kids, what do they look like? All look the same. Big belly, right? Soft skin, right? I mean, loose skin, right? The skin is not tight. It's like, you know, really. But the inner beauty becomes more precious. As the older they are, the more precious they become. Really, so beautiful. Right? So beautiful. So, bone of my bone. So, look at the bone first. Don't look at the flesh first, right? But also, you must be attracted to the flesh too. So that's why when God said to, you know, for Adam, right, he's not good to be alone. So God looked at what? The bird of the air, right? And the beast of the field and the cattle, there's none of them compatible to him, right? Those things represent what? Gentiles. The bird of the air, the cattle, the beast of the field, they represent Gentiles, right? If you marry a Gentile, they're just like beasts, right? Can you imagine you marry an elephant and If God bring an elephant to Adam, right? And Adam said, bones of my bones, flesh of my flesh, right? It cannot be, right? You understand? You know, they are beasts. They are beasts, right? Even a chimpanzee, the closest thing to human, right? You can never say to a chimpanzee, bones of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You cannot, right? Chimpanzees are very hairy, right? And their flesh is rough, right? And ugly looking, right? And their bones are like this, right? Right? So that's why when you marry a Gentile, you try to what? To fix them what? To fit them to be your bones, your bone and flesh, your flesh, right? It doesn't work out. So that's why if you want to be an arm, you can be different from the other arms, right? You cannot be one body. You guys understand what I'm saying? You guys understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So that's why marrying a Gentile, no matter what you try to do, they can never be bones, your bone and flesh, your flesh. Never. Unless in God's grace, they are baptized, right? They are cleansed, and then God fixed their bones, right? Their flesh become like us. Yeah, that's beautiful, right? But why go through that kind of trouble, right? If you really like a person, invite a person to church. When you invite a church, really pray for it. Some members, some brother and sister, in the beginning they feel like, wow, this person they met, you know, they feel like this can be their future spouse. And they invite them to church, and afterward they feel, oh, actually he's not, or she's not. But thank God they invite them to come to church to become believers, right? Okay, any other question? Okay, let's, jayo, right? We haven't gone anywhere. Okay. So no matter what, Mary is a one, and then a whole life, right? So make sure you do it right. Marry those in Christ. Even within Christ, make sure they are sheep and not goat, right? Because there's plenty of time that, I mean, I know three engagements become enough, right? Why? Because the brothers, even though it seemed that he's in Christ and everything, but his action was not. Just like one of the brother forced his wife to strip naked and stuff like that on a webcam, right? And do things for him. So the sister's just like, what is this, right? Of course, if he does that, this means privately he also do a lot of things that is not edifying, right? So thank God the sister realized this. And she doesn't want to marry him anymore. Right? Because you cannot be a sheep and act like a goat, right? You cannot be like that. Okay? So please, really take it seriously, right? Don't make a big deal about you married, but take it seriously. Okay. Let's continue on. Can we continue? It's okay? Okay, yeah. Maybe when you go to PMVP, then you have longer talk about marriage and stuff, right? But this time I talk about relationship and marriage. The PMVP, you have 4 hours to talk about, right? So, you guys are still too young, yeah, I'm just kidding, but yeah. Okay, verse 33. Actually, let's go to verse 38. 33 to 37, we know that let your yes be a yes and no be a no. This is also very important, right? So there's no such thing as white lie, right? This little lie, no. Let your yes be a yes and a no be a no. And don't make an oath, right? In a sense that don't promise people certain things. But human being, the minute we promise, we're going to break it very easily. Why? Because we're only human. So that's why don't promise to do this, don't promise to do that, right? So that's why don't say, oh, you know, God, you know, if you bless me with a good job, I promise you I will serve you, right? And diligently serve you. Don't do that kind of stuff. Don't do that kind of stuff. Don't make a promise, but try your best, right? For example, after invite yes, God, I promise you, I'm going to pray half an hour a day. You don't need to say that. Because what happened? You're not going to be able to do it. Right? There's some kind of reason, then what? Then we don't keep our promise. But instead, say, God, I will try my best. Right? I will try my best with your help, with your will. I want to pray every day half an hour so I can communicate with you, right? Draw myself closer to you. That is way better to say, oh God, I promise you. And then also, don't promise, right, to other people too, right? For example, we sort of meet someone, especially in LA, right? I'll promise you I'll be there at 1 o'clock. In LA, you never know what's gonna happen, right? Traffic, this and that, right? So if we don't get there by one, this means we are lying, right? We are lying. So always, that's why for me, when I go to meet someone, right, I always say what is the best way to say if you don't want to be, you know, don't want to lie to them, you're going to be late and stuff, right? So if I'm going to meet someone at one, I say, I'll be there around one. Around one. So I mean, if I go there 1:05, it's still around one. It's, for me, it's up until 1:15. After 1:15, there's no more around one anymore, right? That is going to be around 1:30 already, right? Okay. So, but of course, if you're late, call somebody, right? Call. So this kind of stuff is, for me, it's very important, right? To keep our faith and to be righteous. So that's why when brothers ask us a certain question, don't dilute the truth, right? Because we want to make them feel bad, right? Almost every Sabbath, if I'm home, my wife asks me, hey, honey, how do I look, right? And I tell her, if she wears some pants that is not too good, I say, that kind of too fat on it, make you look too fat, right? And the thing is, she appreciates, she says, oh, thank you, right? She appreciates, right? Because I mean it, right? But if that pants look good on her, I say, honey, you look beautiful, then that's it. Right? She accepted, right? Because I really mean, if I say, oh, if she asks me, how's the pan? Oh, they are good, right? And next week, how's it? Oh, it's good, right? Next week, yeah, it's good, don't worry about it, right? Then my opinions no more matters, right? Because all I say, it's good, no matter what she asks me, right? So be honest, right? And when my wife gets short haircut, really short, I tell her, that haircut is ugly. I don't like that, right? And of course, she still gets your haircut, right? But I tell her how I feel, right? I'm not gonna lie to her, wow, you look very beautiful in short haircut. No, I don't like it. I just don't like it, right? So I'm just being honest, right? The truth always hurts, but only for a moment, right? But lies will hurt forever. So that's why, really, if you see brother and sister walking around with some kind of food on their face and stuff, tell them. Tell them, don't let them walk around with food, you know, on their face and stuff, right? That's not good, right? I remember in Pacifica, right? If you go to Pacifica, you see my profile picture? During one of the cookout, right? Okay, I was eating some kind of vegetable stuff, so I got this green thing stuck in my teeth, right? And a brother took a picture of me, right? With this green thing stuck on my teeth, right? And no one even told me that I had this green thing stuck in my teeth, because I like to smile, right? So I walk in, right? With this green thing stuck on my teeth. And then he put a profile there with the green thing stuck on my teeth, right? If you go to Pacifica, you see the dining hall, right? You see my picture? Say, that's not nice. But I laugh because it's funny, right? But really, be honest, hey, you have something, right? And the same thing with your zipper open and stuff, right? No, but really, some people feel embarrassed, but you should not tell them the zipper, no. Because if they know the zipper is open, you think they walk around and say, hi, how are you? Right? Right? So we must pull them aside. Your zipper is open. It's okay, it's normal, right? I remember one time, really, this is one of the pastors, he always wear the same pants all the time, right? And this pant he had for 30 years already. So during this time, he was talking to a deacon, right? And his zipper like completely broke, right? Broke. When he sat down, I have no idea what happened, but it broke, right? But I did not just let him sit and talk in front of the deaconess, actually a deaconess, right? And just let him continue to talk and be all right, smiling, stuff, and his zipper was all open, right? No, I tell him. And then it's like, what? Then he got up and said, his zipper is open, right? You know? So he fixed the whole situation, right? But even though he feels embarrassed at that moment, I told him that, right? But on the end, can you imagine I told him later after the deaconess had left? Like, hey, you know, you talked for an hour, your zipper was open. That wouldn't be good, right? Really, be honest, but have a loving heart, right? Have a loving heart to do it, right? Really, if someone has boogers in their nose, tell them already, right? Tell them. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But, oh, on the end, right, we have to really be honest, be honest. But with love, right, with love, okay? Oh, time is up. Maybe we have one more minute. Okay, there's one more thing. Verse 38. You have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Verse 39. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn another to him also. Verse 40. If anyone wants you to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Verse 41. And whoever compels you to go a mile, go with him too. Verse 42. Give him who asks you, And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away, right? So here, right, people always say, look, right, if people ask from you, you must give. Is that what the Bible teaches us here? Huh? So now, if you have $100, say, can I have $100? Can you give me $100? You must give, right? Because the Bible says, look, whatever people ask, you must give, right? So if someone slaps you on the right cheek, you turn your left also, right? This means all the Christians will go around black and blue, everywhere, right? So what is this teaching us? What is the main point here in verse 38 to verse 4? What is the main point? So we know that we cannot give to people, right? Give to him who asks you, right? If Jesus Christ said this, we now, I have a house in Dallas. You guys want my house? Just ask me. I will give it to you. Right? And just, no, it's not that. What is the main point here? Anybody?
An evil person.
What's that?
An evil person.
Yes. An evil person. If an evil person, right, come to my house, hey, give me your house. He's an evil person. I know he's going to kill me. Like, hey, take it, right? Take my pawn too. Right? Take everything I have, right? You understand? So if an evil person slaps you on the right side, you're going to resist him? No. If you resist him, you'll be killed, right? So that's why, you know, Pastor Timothy Young, right? When he's in South Africa, there's like between 8 to 10 robbers, right? Came, right? To where he was staying, right? And of course, they want to defile his wife, right? They want to kill the both of them. So during that time, he just prayed, right? He just prayed. And then the guy, the leader asked, hey, who are you praying to? Say Jesus, then he got slapped even more, right? Because they are Muslim, right? And then during that time, the pastor Tim tried to fight back. No, he prayed even more, right? And during that time, one of the guys said, let's kill both of them. And the leader said, no, forget, just let them go. So they left. So if he resisted them during that time, both of them would have been dead. When I tell this story, I always remember this in Boston one year. There's a Taekwondo expert. He's like a 10-degree black belt, right? He's like very famous and stuff like that. He walked in Longwood area, which is not a really safe area. He walked there, and the next morning they found him, right? Dead, 100 stab wound to him. Why? Because during that time, three guys want to rob him. But because he's an expert in Taekwondo, right? He just feel he can take them. But those three guys, they know what they're doing also, right? With three knives, he got stabbed 100 times and dead. Right? So don't resist an evil person, right? If they want your pants, hey, take my underwear too. That's what it is, right? Whatever, you want, take it, right? So don't play a hero, because hero always come dead, right? So that's why Jesus Christ is saying, don't be a tough guy, right? You know, even you feel you're so strong and powerful, but an evil person, they will do whatever to try to hurt you, right? Just take that.